Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our first lesson from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, but I also like to add to that verses 36 and 37, and let me read those to you. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Nicknames. Sometimes you get one, sometimes you don't. Sometimes, well, you say them to your spouse. Maybe some of you might call your spouse baby, for instance. All right, that could either be for male or female, doesn't matter. Or you could say sweetie or sugar, something like that. And what are they when we use those? Well, they are terms of endearment, are they not? Sometimes you get that nickname, and they are terms of endearment. And sometimes you get a nickname, and, well, they aren't quite what you might call terms of endearment. Well, one of the things that we call my kids, well, particularly my sons, is Bud. Don and I have been doing that since they were little boys. In fact, when we say that, when they were first little, they're like, that's not my name. We're like, yeah, I know. You get that. But we always said that when there's lots of love behind that. And so that's what we would call them. And after a while there, they got used to that. Okay, they got used to being called Bud, for instance. And so, again, it was a term of endearment. Now, if they got in trouble, we didn't use Bud. That's when you use their full name, right? Everybody gets hear your full name, you know you're in trouble then. But as far as they were concerned, though, whenever they heard that name, it was always love behind it, never in anger, never ever. Well, this morning, in our first lesson, when we see someone getting a nickname, if you will, his name is Joseph. And if you were introduced to him, well, people would have said, this is Joseph of Cyprus. That would have been his name. Unless Joseph was a Levite. And, well, people started calling him by his nickname. And quite frankly, as he's known throughout the rest of the book of Acts, it is by his nickname. And the one that we are calling here is Barnabas. Barnabas. The first part, bar, okay, that means son of. And so Nabas then means encouragement. So when you put those together there, you got Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement. Now this guy must have been going around all the time encouraging folks. And that's probably how he got that name, because he kept doing that all the time. Now the question is why? What is it that motivated him to be that way? Well, I suggest to you today that it is because of the first verse there in our lesson for today. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, it's that portion of that verse that I think that's the key to everything here, is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, think of it as an early church version of Christ is risen. Okay? Think of it in those terms. So as you hear that kind of thing, we'd automatically respond, he is risen indeed. So the resurrection of Jesus here is the key to our faith, okay? It's our driver behind what we say and do, or should be. And it certainly was in the early church. And so what exactly did they do? Now, when we first look at our lesson here this morning, well, there's one verse that we kind of got to get out of the way there, because it's probably brought more consternation to the church than any other verse that's in there. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that they had belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Now, for some people, they like to use this verse here as a good reason for why we should have socialism or even communism. Everybody had everything in common. Now, the real question that needs to be answered here is this: descriptive or prescriptive for the church? Now, when I talk about descriptive here, we're talking about that, does it describe what the church was doing? Or is that particular verse there meaning that it is prescriptive, that it prescribes or tells what the church ought to be doing? Well, the answer is this: it describes what the church did. Now, the holding of money together in common to eliminate the needs of the people there in the congregation is not prescriptive. That means it's not saying that that's what everybody should do. Rather, it just describes what they did. And what does it show? It shows that what they received from the Lord there, that, well, they were to use that wisely. And so, in other words here, God was wanting the people there, wanting them to be a good steward of what he has given to you. That means, for everyone then, willingly and generously sharing with those who have needs in the church. Sacrificial giving, without giving someone without expecting anything in return. Now, supporting the work of the church with your regular giving and sacrificial giving, like what's coming up here with our capital campaign, well, that is one way, an opportunity for us to use what God has given to us. Now, doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go sell off all your property, in other words, to take care of all that. It's kind of like the pastor in Atlanta who several years ago wanted to have his own airplane. Not just a regular airplane, but a big giant jet, you know, like a 747. He needed to have that himself. Now, I'm not asking you to do that. Now, if you want to give me a snowblower or something, now I might accept that with all we've had here this past year. But anyway, but what we're finding here, though, what about Barnabas? It's showing here that Barnabas is giving a good example, a powerful example of what one can do in the church. Because if you go in the book of Acts later, that you'll find this about him. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So what motivated Barnabas to give so generously? Well, I'd say go back to that first verse that I quoted, giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Think how the resurrection changed the lives of the disciples. All you need to do is go back and look at our gospel reading for today. Okay? Jesus shows up. Now, that had to have been kind of interesting here. All the disciples are afraid of the Jews and everything, so here they are behind locked doors so that nobody can get them, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up. Peace be with you. And you're thinking, peace settled down my heart is racing right there. You show up like that. What does he say? He's like, showed him his hands and his side so that they might believe. But Thomas, no, he wasn't there. And so they went and told Thomas, like, hey, Jesus showed up. He's like, you wouldn't believe it. And he's like, no, I wouldn't believe it. You know, you guys need to check your medication. How much did you take today? You know, what'd you put in your coffee? You know, it's like, until I could sit there and put my finger in his hands and my hand in his side, he's like, you know, I'm not going to believe whatever you guys said you saw. 8 days later, who shows up? Jesus does this time and repeats right back to Thomas there exactly what he said. He's like, all right, hey, Thomas, come on over here. Put your finger here, you know. Reach out, put your hand in my side. Stop this unbelief and believe. How did that change Thomas? What did he say immediately to Jesus? My Lord and my God. That's powerful. He knew exactly who Jesus was, who he is. Now, consider the resurrection now, how it impacted all the disciples. I'd say there's two things primarily that it really did for them. One, they were bold to preach. They got out there and told others about Jesus. Told them about how he rose from the grave alive. The second thing that motivated them to do is nothing stopped them. They did it anyway. Didn't matter if they were going to be threatened with, you can't do that here, that's against the law, whatever. Didn't matter. They did it anyway. It shows how the power of the resurrection can certainly change a person. Jesus rising from the grave alive is motivating them to doing everything. Now the question to ask, is that our reason for motivation? Does Jesus' resurrection mean anything to us? Does it really empower us to serve? Or do we get hung up on verses that sound like, well, we should be socialist and pool all of our resources together like that? Well, maybe it doesn't. But sometimes people use that as an excuse not to give and not to serve. Jesus doesn't expect that. Okay? So, to do nothing? No, that just doesn't cut it. But many do. And so I go back and ask, how do you serve the Lord? How do you serve the Lord here at church? How do you serve the Lord at home? How do you serve the Lord at work? How do you return a portion of the blessings that he has given to you? You see, there are many opportunities to serve here within our congregation here at Trinity. Coming up, church council is going to need some new folks on the board there. Okay, council? Perhaps that's a way. Got the Comfort Dog Ministry coming up. Got a meeting today here, in fact. They're looking for ministry partners. That's a new way to reach out to the community. But those are just some of the ways. What are other ways that you can use to encourage others? What are the other ways in which you can support the ministry here at Trinity? What's God calling you to give? You see, for some people, Jesus' resurrection was certainly a game changer in their lives. And not just a name changer like Simon now going by Peter, or perhaps Joseph now being called Barnabas, or Thomas the Doubter, now he's a believer. You see, Jesus' resurrection changed their lives forever. And Jesus' resurrection still changes lives. It's already changed your life. You are forgiven. You have the hope of everlasting life. Your future is secure. How is that going to motivate you to serve? Consider this passage this morning and the life of those who served as examples. How can you serve? How can you encourage others? So don't let yourself or your situation stop you. Didn't for the disciples, okay? Jesus rising from the grave alive means so much. Let the resurrection of Jesus continue to change your life for the better. For indeed, as we boldly say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us rise.